Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I'm flying solo today because, let me tell you, when the world's against you, the world's against you, and coming at you a little later on a Friday evening than what we would typically like to do, and just a little bit of my own. I had technical problems. We had schedule problems. We had some Jags out here pulling out tree stumps just outside the window and just noise, and me and Brian couldn't get on the same page. So Brian's okay. I know some of you are always asking for him back there over in the YouTube comments. Where's Brian? He's alive and well. He's in the United States of America. He's caught up on sleep and everything else. And I'm sure he's going to be laughing when he hears this because we're still trying to get on the horn and get around to a little bit of some preseason previews, pre-training camp previews as around the AFC North. We're going to take a look at the Bengals, the Ravens, and of course the Cleveland Browns, and all kinds of news and all kinds of things dropping from former Ravens like Orlando Brown and his franchise tag, and also currently trying to franchise tag Jesse Bates. And that kind of leads into today's shorter topic, special edition of the show. I want to talk a little bit about Le'Veon Bell and just his, he's sounds like he's retired now, and that's about where I need to go. Already had this show in the can, and microphone had big popping noises that most of you probably wouldn't like if I would have kept in there. So I think I said, the world's against you. The world's against you. Comedy of errors. Just nothing working right, but still trying to get the hashtag. I don't have the hashtag here. The content out to all of the people. And of course, that's a shout out to my buddy, The Flash, Zach Saldonia. We'll be talking all kinds of football coming soon because training camp just around the corner right here. I'm already prepared. I got the towels up. St. Vincent College. I do have the training camp 2021 Heinz Field up here. That's going to be a misnomer when we think about it years down the road. And that's kind of where I'm thinking with my approach here. This topic wasn't something that I thought up. It's not my own brainchild. I was kind of like rolling my eyes at Lev Bell's got a fight. He's promoting against Adrian Peterson coming up, and it's presented by, I don't know who's presenting it, like Drunk Fights. I don't know what it is. But it's just a like Celebrity Deathmatch MTV. You remember those things with the claymation? No, it's a real deal. It's going to be fighting Adrian Peterson. He's one of these other football players looking for something post-career. Frank Gore got into like the whole MMA thing. And you remember back in the day, he used to be pro wrestling. I mean, Bill Goldberg. And most of you guys know who Goldberg is if you followed pro wrestling late 90s or early 2000s, or even most recently at like 50 some years of age, had a little bit of a comeback. Guess he wanted his kids to see him in the ring because he was like built up real big in the video game, and everybody's like, oh, this Goldberg guy looked cool. But it's like you may have been successful, you may not have been successful as a football player. Wahoo McDaniel, Big Cat, Ernie Ladd. There was all kinds. It seemed like just natural gravitation from the football world to something else. And LeBell came out and had some words just yesterday and got this kind of all sparked here. As I'm going to say, I'm going to read off and show you what he posted on his Instagram, and paraphrasing in a few spots. It's a kind of a lengthy little read here. Dude wrote some paragraphs, right? I'm not going to do the TLDR on this, too long. Didn't read, but we only have so much time and I'm only so eloquent with the different words. So I'm excited for this next chapter of my life, my journey to be the best at what I do. The NFL has done great things for me, and I truly appreciate it every single year of my NFL journey. ... Obviously, whoever, wish things would have played out differently in 2018. And 2018, of course, is when Le'Veon Bell kind of grandstanded the Steelers. Same kind of thing that might be going on right now. Jesse Bates, the safety with the Bengals. We're going to see who's going to be playing under the tag. A few players. I'm trying to remember if Mike Gesicki, tight end from the Dolphins. Didn't look like there was a lot of movement. There was like four players that may or may not sign their tag. They might sit out camp. I remember that's like their resource. They're trying to get paid. They're trying to get some long-term guarantees or insurances. And it's not to say that Bell didn't have those things put in place. I think the first year that he played under the franchise tag. He was hoping for the longer term thing and said, screw this, I'm not going to do this again this season. And of course, we know how some of that turned out with the Pittsburgh Steelers and post Pittsburgh Steelers career and what the Pittsburgh Steelers offered him. But to get back to my dude's tweet here, or I'm sorry, not his tweet, but his Instagram post. And wish things would have played out differently in 2018. Like if I legit had a time machine to go back to 2018, that would be so lit. And that's some of the flash language that's thrown in here. But for so many reasons, but I don't. All we can do is keep moving forward with life. And life has taught me a lot of valuable lessons for me into the person I am today. He talks about his great moments over the last 6-7 years. He felt I could do no wrong on top of the world, loved every minute of it, but there were times I felt alone, betrayed, disrespected, or used. It didn't make me feel the best, but I never blinked. I managed to embrace all of it and use it as motivation to prove to myself I'm going to be the best as I shift my focus solely to my new sport, boxing. I've been blessed and fortunate enough to make a lot of money playing the game of football. Couldn't be more thankful for being able to provide for my family and close ones and form relationships with other coaches and other great athletes all across the league. But clout money, that's not what it's about. And that's just what I want people to understand. It's not about the money for me. It's about proving to myself and showing the world I'm not done yet. And he talks about his July 30th bout at the Crypto.com Arena versus Adrian Peterson and the Grab Your Tickets. I'll give him a little bit of a plug. Since he's given me a little bit of material to work with here, because like I said, I got this topic from, and you can see me kind of like wanting to roll my eyes here and gag, Andrew Filippone. Man, that name's just coming up a little bit too much more. At least we're not saying Mark Madden, right? But Andrew Filippone saw this and everybody says, oh, well, Bell's walking away from football, blah, blah, blah. He's 30 years old. I mean, we tend to forget he came into the league in 2013, Michigan State. He was what, Eddie Lacy? Did he get drafted before or after Monty Ball? But those were the top three in that draft. And we know Lacy, you're thinking, like, I know Monty was on the show last year previewing the Denver Broncos game against the Steelers and just talking about how life is just so short. Again, it's the not for long league. It's Father Time's undefeated. Okay. And when it comes to running backs, usually 29, 30 years old, you're hanging them up. And it doesn't matter what era that this was. This could be even in the 90s. And wide receivers, pretty much, we found that 31, maybe 32, you might eke out another year. Unless you're Jerry Rice or somebody that's just like subhuman. Maybe that'd be the case. So it was winding down for Bell anyways. But how great of a player was Lev Bell? And is he somebody that should be considered worthy of the Steelers Hall of Honor? We're talking about the Steelers as a team and as a Steelers great, and maybe a Steelers legend. Not talking about Canton, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and having a bust there or anything like that. Maybe if he had stayed with the Steelers, that's possible. And we could talk about that a little bit too. That's a little bit of the conversation and a little bit of, well, does he belong? Does he deserve? Was 5 years as a Steelers good or great enough to be in a Hall of Honor? Oh, but no, Joe, you're talking crazy talk. This is just all clickbait. This is just, no. I'm being for real for a minute. I think like several years down the road, we're going to look back on this. And you can look at it right now. Maybe Najee Harris becomes this all-time Steelers great running back. But did Lev Bell really, really like leave us as wounded as we're remembering? I mean, James Conner was drafted to the Steelers and had one of the hottest selling jerseys. And we see that Conner got banged up, got hurt, couldn't stay on the field. Also, the run game just went in the toilet. Was it because Lev Bell left? Was it because of the offensive line? Was it because of Mike Munchak? Was it because of Randy Fickner? Because Todd Haley got canned for Randy Fickner? There's so many things. I mean, Munchak, they were like among the last, 29th in the league in rushing. His last season as offensive line coach, but Marcus Gilbert ends up leaving for the right tackle position. Ramon Foster retires. There was rumblings as to whether the Steelers would trade. And I remember the whole thing was at one time, were they going to keep Ramon Foster or Kelvin Beachum? And then, of course, you get the elite players like Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro. And those are great names to bring up, by the way, because as we talk about the Jesse Bates of the world and the franchise tags and Le'Veon Bell's contract and oh, the Steelers are cheap. The Rooneys just don't pay anybody. And you saw the salary cap problems they had last year. The COVID put them in a really bad situation. And Ben Roethlisberger needed to take a pay cut. And they weren't able to keep players like Bud Dupree and Mike Hilton. And there was all these rumbling about, like, well, they paid TJ Watt. They just paid Minkah Fitzpatrick. That's what's, like, really ticking off Jesse Bates. He's looking at Minkah Fitzpatrick's top dollar salary. He's number one, numero uno. He's the head honcho right now among the safeties in the NFL as far as the pay scale goes. He's the Christian Kirk that disrupted everything for Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams and, I don't know, A.J. Brown, if he stays healthy. I mean, he's killed my fantasy teams enough times. I have enough fantasy teams. That's a whole other story. But all the wide receivers looking to get paid. Jesse Bates wanted to get paid. At this time, back in 2017, 2018, there was a difference here with, like, Le'Veon Bell and wanting to reset the running back market. He also wanted to be paid like a wide receiver. And that's something that we need to take into consideration if we're talking about Steelers all-time greats. We also have to look at the criteria for the Steelers Hall of Honor, which we will. I'm going to pull that up shortly. But just talking contract-wise, I think he looks back contract legacy and realizing, hey, you know, I think we figured out with what was reportedly offered by Kevin Colbert and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Had Bell played in 2018, not sat out. Stuck with the Steelers. Probably, I was given some debate. 18, 19, 20. Would he have been a three-year contract, four-year contract cut last year, and they still draft Najee Harris? They still run with him? Does he fall off the cliff like he did, sitting out a year, and then playing for the Jets? And I mean, it's the Jets. I don't know. So I think he made enough money in the league, right? And it's not, like I said, it's not like the Steelers don't pay their players. That's what's coming up right now with Deontay Johnson. And it ticks me off because people were talking about it with Minkah Fitzpatrick. They were already talking about it with TJ Watt. Talked about it, this guy, Antonio Brown. He's a whole other fire plug. He got paid when Mike Wallace was sitting out of training camp. And he got the deal. He got the five-year deal. And nobody knew. He wasn't quite the household name, but he was on the rise. He got the money and he got paid like again and then show up to training camp. There'd be like a Rolls Royce. And there was talk about whether Antonio Brown was underpaid. It's much like these guys right now, Tyreek Hill, et cetera, right? And then he blew it off for the longest time. They kept the lid on it and then eventually couldn't be contained. And the dude lost his mind and he demanded a trade and left practice, supposedly left the game against the Bengals at the end of the year, was mad Juju got the team MVP. A little bit different than the Bell situation. Can we agree with that? Especially since he kind of backdoored his way out of a trade with the Bills and then with the Raiders, thing with his feet, the helmet fiasco, the arguments with Mike Mayock and or John Gruden, who knows, goes to Buffalo, found out, like, there's all this off-field stuff. There's other turmoil. Yeah, Bell got in trouble smoking with LeGarrette Blount. And I think that's like a whole thing that people are going to bring up. Talking about Le'Veon Bell, talking about where he stands, greatness of the Steelers, and bringing up Brown and Bell, the Killer Bees, Martavis Bryant in there too. They didn't get the hardware. Part of that is because Bell got hurt. Got his knees taken out from his knees and under his legs and end up with Ben Tate, that 2014 season, right at the end of the year. Like, I don't know. Like, how do you necessarily replace him? When they had him in 2016, the dude broke Franco Harris's playoff record. So they finally have Bell, Brown, and Ben in the playoffs, 2016. And he breaks Franco Harris's single-game playoff rushing record. Then comes back around the next week. That was against the Dolphins. Next week, they play the Kansas City Chiefs. And boom. Sound like John Madden here. He breaks his own record that he broke Harris's the week before. So he doubles down. And he gets hurt against the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. And then 2017, of course, no Ryan Shazier. It all falls apart. That's the team that's like coulda, woulda, shoulda. Maybe they would have an Iron City beer can up here. Steelers 1976, 1977. The Super Steelers, Super Bowl, teams. There's, you know, Steelers teams of the 70s that there's regrets over as well. Just loaded talent. And they got some rings. And there's nobody that has more rings than the Steelers now. But I think, again, God forbid, I'd hate to say this, but you don't know. Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Kenneth Pickett. I like saying Kenneth, but Kenny Pickett. We don't know what the future holds. Be the 80s all over again. You're reminiscing about the 70s back then and like, man, can they get back on track and have a winning team? It took Cowher forever. The whole 90s were great teams. That's the way I view like the 2010s in much the same way. You had that early Super Bowl appearance against Green Bay Packers in the 90s. Cowher had that appearance against the Cowboys. You have some great players that are part of this Hall of Honor that aren't Hall of Fame names necessarily. Several of them are. I think that's the way we're going to look at these 2010 teams. It'll be the teams that just fell short for whatever reason. Joe, you're crazy. You're making up excuses. Mike Tomlin sucks, whatever. Get out of town. Tell you to appreciate the players. And Bell is one of these players I think you need to appreciate. And we take a look at his numbers, but let's take a look at the Hall of Honor criteria. Pittsburgh Steelers. This is steelers.com/history/Hall of Honor. Want to look it up. Easier to probably just put that in the old Google machine. Former players. Criteria. Retired for at least 3 seasons. So if Bell's officially filed retirement paperwork with the NFL, then he's going to have to wait a few years. I think he's going to have to wait a lot of years. And I think my point's going to be well taken that right now everything looks kind of good, but time heals all. And I think when you look 5, 10, 15 years down the road, if it takes that long, I think you'll recognize, even for 5 seasons with the Steelers, how great he really was in this time period. He must have played for the Steelers for a minimum of 3 seasons. This is the Kevin Green rule, of course. Hall of Famer in his own right, on a tear, but only 3 short years in Pittsburgh. I could have had him even longer. And should possess noteworthy career highlights, records, and achievements. And I think Bell has a lot of that. So you take a look at... I'm going to pull up Le'Veon Bell's, some of Le'Veon Bell's statistics here. Apologize if this is a little hard on the eyes. I wish they could pull up these stats a little bit bigger. The ProFootballReference.com. Of course, he was a rookie in 2013, Pro Bowler and first team All Pro in that 2014 season, 1,361 yards, 8 touchdowns for each of his first two seasons. Injury shortened year 2015, only 6 games, but he bounces back in 2016, makes a Pro Bowl, 7 touchdowns, 1,268 yards on the ground, plays on the tag, first team All Pro and Pro Bowler in 2017, 1,291 yards, 9 touchdowns, but 321 rushes, like dwarfed his numbers before. And I think that concerned him was the durability thing, the security thing, the guaranteed money thing. But he was long considered also a wide receiver too, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But in those 5 years, let's pull up his rushing numbers first. 5,336 yards, 35 touchdowns, 4.3 yards per carry. Of course, you go on the New York Jets, he wouldn't have another 1,000-yard season. Gets paid, but he goes there, only 3 touchdowns. Did okay receiving still. And then split between the Jets and the Kansas City Chiefs, where he really didn't crack the lineup there, even with that Super Bowl contender, and the same thing kind of happened last year with the Baltimore Ravens and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Started out with the Ravens and bounced over to the Bucs. Ravens had a bunch of injuries, and they were looking, Devonta Freeman and I think who else they added, Tavius Murray. They were just looking for anybody they can get because everybody just kept getting hurt, and we'll be talking about that in our training camp and preseason previews for the AFC North teams. Ravens just smashed with injuries last year and fell into the basement. But Le'Bell, again, 29 and 30 years old. I think he turned 30 in February. So 5 seasons with the Steelers. His receiving yards is 312 receptions, 2,660 yards, 7 touchdowns. So he would finish just 4 yards shy of 8,000 yards total in his 5 seasons. And remember that one season, two shortened seasons, actually. You've got a suspension, I believe, that he had to serve in. Was that? No, that wasn't 2016, was it? I'm trying to remember why he missed some time in 2016, but he's only got 12 games there. He was injured as a rookie, so 13 games, full season in 2014, but got taken out right before the playoffs. Got hurt 6 games into the season in 2015, 12 games in 2016, and 15 in 2017. Of course, the Steelers didn't need to play all of their starters playing the Cleveland Browns at the end of a couple of those seasons too, and Bell was one of the players who sat. But that's just going to show you, it's just 62 games, and he puts up almost 8,000 all-purpose yards from scrimmage. And it's important to put into perspective, based on a lot of the single-season leaders with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, right now, Le'Veon Bell is 15th overall with 85 receptions back in that 2017 season, the one I said got away. That's behind. I mean, Antonio Brown's on here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5, 6 times. Juju's on here twice. Hines Ward 4 times. Deontay Johnson has peeked into here now twice since Bell's left. So that means he was actually as high as like 13th, maybe even a little higher. Let's see. Juju Smith-Schuster would have done that in 2018 and 2020, so he didn't play in 2020. He was almost top 10 in receptions when he left the team, when he didn't play that year. He stops and he's almost top 10 for a single year, one of the best single years as a player. He also has 17. He was also listed now at 17 at 83. Yancey Thigpen's here at 16. We talked about Yancey just the other day. And yards wide, let me see. Not as much with the receiving yards, obviously. More receptions. But the whole entire point is he's only a running back. And you're adding this into the mix. And if we look at the single season leaders for running the football, yards wise, Le'Veon Bell is currently 5th all time for that 2014 season, 8th all time that 2017 season, and his 2016 season registers in as the 10th best rushing performance for a season for the Pittsburgh Steelers in history, in the entire history of Pittsburgh Steelers. Barry Foster, the GOAT, 1992, man, 1,690 yards. Loved Barry Foster. The Bus has a couple of them, actually 3 seasons in here. 3 of the best seasons. Willie Parker's in here with the 3rd best and the 7th best. And Rashard Mendenhall cracked this in that 2010 season as well. 9th best season. So, I mean, it just kind of shows you where Bell lies in the pecking order. Touchdown-wise, though, he doesn't quite get in here in the same type of respect. That's because he was also, this is just rushing touchdowns. It's not from scrimmage. So when we get into some of the historical stats, which I actually have, all-time scoring, I think just in a game, you got Chase Claypool with 24 points tied with Roy Jefferson and Ray Matthews. Wide receiver aspect of it. Let's see. These are all-time scoring, most total points in a game. Last time was Le'Veon Bell. This was the 20 up to last season, right? So we don't have the updates. Najee Harris, somebody else may have snuck in here. Hasn't been updated just yet. Or I might have to check on that and see. They got usually that media guide's coming around and they update some of the historical stuff. So. But still, this is still good for the conversation. It doesn't mean he's too far off. Maybe somebody like Harris snuck in here or Deontay Johnson or somebody like that a little bit more. Most touchdowns career. Le'Veon Bell is 10th overall with 42. He stuck around, man. I mean, Franco's got 100 touchdowns. Hines Ward, ironically, 86. Drum Bettis with 80, AB with 79, Stalwart 64, Lynn Swann, Louis Lips, Heath Miller with 45. Louis Lips had 46. So when we talk about 4 touchdowns really separating Bell from some of the greats, Steelers greats, that is. I'm going to go through some of the Hall of Honor names as well. Some of these players are already in there. And I think he keeps good company with a lot of these wide receivers, running backs, and so forth. Let's see what else we got. Most touchdowns in a game. There's only 3 Pittsburgh Steelers have had four touchdowns in a game, and it's all those three wide receivers I mentioned, Claypool, Jefferson, and Matthews. Bell has had a number of three touchdown games, at least three, maybe even four, I believe just three. Let's see where else he lies. All-time rushing, he is fourth all-time career-wise with 5,336. It's only trailing by 42 yards from Willie Parker. Bettis has over 10,000 with 10,571. Of course, Franco, 11,950. A little bit longer time with the team, but maybe that's why he has a little bit of those regrets. But still, in the context of this, John Henry Johnson's on this list with 4,381. Dick Hoke is on this list with 3,965. Rocky Blyer on this list at ninth with 3,865. Those are all Hall of Honor recipients, award winners, whatever you want to call it. They're in Heinz Acrisure and Acrisure Stadium. Hey, Heinz Field, the ketchup bottles might be staying. Can't wait to see what Brian's reaction is to all this. I want to get it on film. But the ketchup bottles might be staying. Art Rooney II just said that in an interview. So there may still be a Heinz Red Zone. I'm not sure how that works with Acrisure or if we're Acrisure it's going to happen. Stay tuned. Same Acrisure time, same Acrisure channel. That's hard to say that. I'm not so Acrisure about myself now. Bell has the fifth best, eighth best, and 10th best rushing seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He also holds the single game rushing record that was up at Buffalo against the Bills in 2016 with 236 yards. He has the fifth best game against the Titans. That's the game where LeGarrette Blount walked out on the Steelers. We were just talking about that. That was 204 yards, and he has the eighth best against Cincinnati with 185 and tied with the 10th best with Barry Foster and Franco Harris, each with 179 yards. So he has one, two, three, four, if I'm doing my Acrisure math correctly here, of the top 10 single best run games in five seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He doesn't quite get up there as much with the most 100-yard rushing games. Bettis has 50. Franco has 47. Parker has 25. Foster has 20. Bell has 18. John Henry Johnson, however, has 15. Something to kind of keep in mind there, obviously, if he stuck around a little bit longer. But he did. He had a lot of receiving, a lot of receiving yards. Let's see, season, the most in a season, he's eighth. That's not the most impressive statistic, not even worth it there, but how many times he eclipsed 100 yards? Because he was like wide receiver two, as I was just showing. Most rushing attempts, fourth all time, behind again, Franco, the bus, fast Willie Parker, ahead of Dick Hoke, John Henry Johnson, Frank Pollard, Rocky Blyer, Barry Foster. Interesting stuff. Fifth most in a season. Second most ever in a game. Franco had the most with 41. Bell had 38 at one point. Has a number of other games where he's there in that same category. Third most rushing touchdowns. Career. 35. Bettis has 78. Franco has 91. I think you kind of get my point where I'm going with Bell and where he really stands, tail of the tape. I got to do a little more, though. He's sixth all-time total yards from scrimmage. Sixth all-time total yards from scrimmage. Let me say that one more time. Sixth, Franco, 14,000-something. Heinz Ward, 12,000-something. AB and John Stallworth, 11,000 each. I'm sorry, that was Jerome Bettis and Antonio Brown, 11-something apiece. John Stallworth, 88-34. And Lev Bell, 79-96. He's ahead of Heath Miller, Louis Lips, Willie Parker, Lynn Swann. From total yards from scrimmage, he has the most in a season. Not only does he have the most in one season, 2014 season, 2,215 yards, topping Barry Foster's 1992, where he had 2,034. Bell also has the third best and the fourth best all time yards from scrimmage, single seasons. 1, 3, and 4. That's dynamite, man. That is absolutely dynamite. Receptions wise, he's eighth on the Steelers list with 312. Again, we're off of here and we might have to update some of these, but Juju might have passed him last year. Maybe Juju didn't. How many balls did Juju catch? He's still, Le'Veon Bell would still be top 10. That's unreal. Absolutely unreal. Or a running back. You wanted that wide receiver too money? Maybe they tried to give it to him. I don't know. So let's look at some of the other names that we have as far as the Steelers Hall of Honor and why I'm saying some of the things I'm saying here about Le'Veon Bell. I mean, we've got some all-time greats. I've already mentioned the bus, Rocky Blyer, Mel Blount, Terry Bradshaw. We keep going, Dermoni Dawson and Fanica, James Ferrier. James Ferrier, that's not somebody you're going to have a Canton Pro Football Hall of Fame conversation about. Maybe you could. Maybe you could force this argument. It's going to be like my spiel about James Harrison here in a few minutes, because can you burn some bridges and come back? And Harrison's already been back. Might as well just say it. Came back with the one Super Bowl team a few years ago. We all hated when he left and went to the Patriots, but we all understand now. He said all of it, and he's still proud of his accomplishments as a Steeler. And it sounds like Bell was already trying to mend some fences with that. And a lot of us were Bell fans or had a Bell jersey or really supported him. Even when there was, you know, you had that one incident that really happened with him. And it's been really quiet. And I'll never forget that ESPN interview he had. And he said the first thing he thought about was his mother and how he disappointed his mama. That doesn't hit you right in the feels, man. I don't know what does. Let's take a look here. Mean Joe Green. Follow up James Ferrier with Mean Joe Green. Okay. There are Steelers and then there's Mr. Steeler. Then there's Kevin Green, of course, on the list because Kevin Green, 3 years, that's how they got the cutoff for this rule. So certainly Bell falls into that. Elsie Greenwood. You could put everybody in the Hall of Honor from the 70s defenses. They should all be in the Hall of Fame as well. Shame that Elsie's not there. His sack numbers are, even though not an official stat, they're there with some of the greats. Jack Ham, Franco Harris, Dick Hoke, I mentioned. Tunch Ilkin is right there. It's Tunch, native tongue. Most people didn't say it right, and we had to learn. Rest in peace, man. It just went in the Hall of Honor last year. Only like a few players did. John Henry Johnson's in there. Carnell Lake. Yeah, he brought the woodshed, forced some fumbles. I don't think he can play that style anymore. I mean, that's the stuff we remember. But again, Hall of Honor versus Hall of Fame. Carnell Lake, Steelers great. Maybe not an NFL great. People will remember, well, great. Not Hall of Famer, Hall of Honor. The distinction. I'm going to say the same thing, and I'll get some sacrilege over this. Blasphemy on Greg Lloyd. Don't you disrespect Greg Lloyd's name. I don't want to either. I don't want him coming after me. He's going to be like that Terry the Office linebacker, Terry Crews, coming after me. He had a run 5 years of Pro Bowls, 3 years where he was first team All-Pro. He only had one season with double-digit sacks. Greg Lloyd's years were like, he finally became a starter. 7 sacks, 4.5, 8, 6.5, 6, 10, 6.5, 1, and 3.5. He has a total of 54.5. He did force 35 fumbles throughout his career. But again, we remember Greg Lloyd for being this awesome. Like, he put the fear of God in you. You didn't want to look at him. That face mask too, man. That face mask was something. The old equipment, some of that stuff is just terrifying to look at. Back then and still to this day, I'm saying LeBell could be in the same category. We all thought Greg Lloyd was great when he was playing there. We all thought Bell was great up until contract dispute. Rod Woodson had contract disputes. Rod Woodson is still loved here, even though he went over like the Baltimore Ravens and got a ring there. Still a very disappointing thing to say. Rod, my all-time favorite, for those of you who already know that. Oh, just peruse down. Of course, Troy's in here. Donnie Shell and John Stallworth. I mean, I could just gloss over some of the names. Hines Ward, definitely all-time Steelers great. A little bit longer, definitely longer career than what Bell had gone through. But again, I've got the argument for rather than against. I see the against, and the against is just because of everybody else. Hines Ward could be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day. One day. I think so. Definitely a Hall of Honor guy. And that's the argument that I'm making for Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell. Devian. Le'Veon. I think for the period of time that he played with the Pittsburgh Steelers, there was no one better, and there was hardly anyone better in the league. And like I mentioned earlier, tongue-in-cheek, I know it's reality versus fantasy, but you're not somebody that's getting drafted in fantasy football leagues if you're not a good player in reality. And he put up the stats. And I'll tell you what, for the longest time, there wasn't anybody you really wanted to draft from the Steelers offensively. Put on your fantasy team. Might put the bus? I mean, Hines? Or putting up the big gaudy stats, you know what I mean? Big bright light type statistics, the Sports Center highlights. AB and Bell. AB's got a lot of patchwork to do. AB, actually, do I still have it on here? He dropped into the Instagram comments for Lev Bell as well. And he's down here. He's one of the congratulatory. Here it goes. AB, LFG with the emoji, the fire emoji. Oh, man. Don't ever change, bro. I still have a hard time letting go. I've never been able to fully, like, you have to be like a real jerk. And I think there's enough borderline, but I just like AB so long. It's really hard. I think it's still too, if their current players are playing for other teams, fans get mad. I mean, you invest too. Who's not kidding about this? You buy a $150 jersey and then the guy leaves. He owes some people, and that money goes into that player's pocket some too. But anyways, folks, Le'Veon Bell, I think Hall of Honor in due time. Time heals all wounds. Five great years, at least four out of the five because of the injury. Great years with the Steelers. Three of those fantastic, just knockout, drag out numbers. And he's among top fives or better and holds several records. That's got to put you in this conversation as one of the greats. But I think recency bias, I don't know that somebody that you necessarily toss in there right away. Off the top of my head, I don't have a whole lot of names. I think about the 80s. I did the Mount Rushmores for every decade. There's still like Gary Anderson, for example, who was about the only person you could really brag about in the 80s if you were a Steelers fan. One of the more consistent Pro Bowlers. League scorers. It's because they couldn't get in the end zone. Bubby Brister and You Shall Not Be Named. Well, You Shall Not Be Named came at the end. Drafted at the end, I think. I think he was 89. Might have been. Around the end of Chuck Knoll. Eventually played. You know what I'm talking about. Don't make me say his name. Super Bowl 30. That's all we got to talk about. Folks, hope you enjoyed the show. Hope it was entertaining for you. We'd like to bring the content to you. Sorry that it was like all over the place and late and everything else. It's all kind of technical problems. Like I said, people out there with a ditch witch making all kind of noise. You can't record in that kind of environment. Really ticked me off. So Brian will be back. Zach will be back. The other Zach might be back. We'll have more content for you. Training camp right around the corner. Football, finally. We're going to be able to talk about quarterback controversy. We're going to be able to actually see it. Guys in shorts. Exciting. It's exciting. We'll be there, and we'll be able to come back and report to you on what we see, what our observations are, and we'll stop having we'll speculate, but we'll at least have something that we can like kind of root ourselves in, and we say, hey, we saw this with our own eye. What was your perception of this? As opposed to these things in thin air that, you know, the Bell, he's boxing now, okay? We're getting there. We're getting there. You can see it. The light at the end of the tunnel. Real football right around the corner. You get a little bit of fake football, then you get a little more fake football, then real football. I'm real excited for it. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. My name is Joe Kuzma, and as always, thank you for supporting the platform wherever you might be watching or listening. Until next time, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.